Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Terry. That was by request. I love that song. You know, when you are in seas that are rough or a storm, and you're anchored off, usually you'll go behind an island to try to let the island break some of the storms. And you'll anchor off and you'll do the best you can. If it gets really, really bad, you'll cut the anchor loose and you'll head out and you'll head into the storm. But if you can get behind that island and anchor off, you're much better off because you're protected. You have a hedge about you. You've heard a sermon that Brother Baggett talked about having a hedge about us and our children and our families. I'm glad that I have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords about me. I'm glad I'm anchored to the sure foundation. Hallelujah. So glad that each and every one of you are here. Sister Anna, so glad you are here. Used to come here before my time. Glad to have you back. And glad that every one of you are here. We're going to have a good time in the Lord today. Brother Doucette, thank you for a wonderful job this morning. It is a lot different from this perspective than from that perspective. You always do a wonderful job in service. Some of you might be wondering what this is. This is something I might use. I might not use it, but I made that, and I'm proud of it. I used that for a lot of years, and it is a homemade gaff. Anybody know what a gaff is? Fish, yeah, it's a homemade gaff, and I use that for gaffing halibut and sharks and anything else that was really, really big in Alaska. But the anchor holds. You know, in order to have an anchor hold, you've got to have a line going to the anchor. First time I was on a ship, I called it a rope, and the captain said, "You hadn't been on a ship very long, it's a line." But you have to have a line. And that line is connected to an anchor. Right? What is an anchor? It's a weight, it's a footing, it's something that's solid, hooks into something, and you become grounded. When you're grounded with Jesus Christ, no matter which way the winds blow, you're connected to the line, grounded in Him. Amen? Let's go to the scriptures just for a second. Let's go to Matthew 14, verse 24. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. How awesome is that? When the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered Him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And He said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Lord, bless us today as we come to hear your word. Open our minds and our hearts to understanding. Give us a desire to live for you above all else. Make us willing servants, O Lord. Guide and keep each word that I speak in love and in your will. I give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I need an anchor. Brother Terry, come be my anchor. So glad that Brother Terry is here. This is actually not an anchor rope, if you're wondering. This actually, once you shoot the halibut or the big fish, you shoot it, then you gaff it, and then you hook this to it, and you pull it up, and then you pull it in right there like that. You want the hook to be the anchor? Stand off over here. It'll go in. Yeah, I won't do that. Here, you be the anchor. Wait. I'm going to mess up your suit. Here, why don't you hold that rope? Now, you're the anchor. Well, go over here. Okay, you're the anchor. You got to be on the bottom. You got to lay down. Yeah, lay down. Yeah, yeah, go ahead, lay down. You got to make sure the anchor is fastened. You know, you kind of pull on it, make sure, you know. Anybody ever been in a boat and had an anchor out? You make sure you hook it like that and get it hooked. Hold on to that, thank you. Look at you, Brother Petrie, caring for your brother. You got it held? Okay. Okay, hold it real good and plant your feet. You're going to lose your pillow. Okay, go ahead and back up anchor. The anchor holds. I just like pulling around a rope. You know, the interesting thing about an anchor, there's a lot of life lessons that can be learned with an anchor and a line. When you're hooked in with an anchor and you're tied off to the boat, when that current or that wind begins to change, the boat might move, but the anchor will stay grounded. When situations in life come at you, begin to affect you mentally, spiritually, but you're anchored to the King of Kings, you might move because the wind is moving. But you're anchored. You're not going anywhere. When I was a boy, we had a bay boat, 24-foot Pro Glass, and had a brand new anchor. I was probably 12. And I had tied it off, and we were in some pretty good current in Galveston Bay. And my dad said, hey, pull up the anchor. We're going to move. So, okay. So instead of pulling in the rope, I untied it off of the cleat. And then I tried to grab the rope, and the current grabbed the boat, and I couldn't hold it, and I lost it. I was so mad at my daddy that day. If I'd had a gun, I could have shot him, because he made me bail off in the bay after the brand new rope and the anchor, because it was expensive. And we had just caught a little 4-foot shark. I was terrified. I found the anchor, though. He wouldn't let me come up until I did. But I found the anchor. There's a lesson in that. Don't untie yourself from the line until you pull yourself in and you get to where you need to be. If you're falling, if you're hurting, if you're going through something, get in the Word. Anchor to the Word. Anchor to God. Anchor to the things of God. Don't let go of the rope. Hold on. Hold on. In our passage of Scripture, thank you, Anchor, you can untie yourself. In our passage of Scripture, we find, I love this story. It's a beautiful story. And no doubt, it's not hard. It's a little hook. Yeah, there you go. Thank you. Good job. I love Brother Terry. I've just got to make sure that the next time he speaks, I'm upstairs or not in here, because he's going to get me. Thank you, buddy. So we find in our scripture this morning, the ship is in a storm. It's going through some hard times, and the men on board are afraid. And they see this person walking on the water. Now, I've been in rough seas. I have many stories of being in bad seas. I was in the Bering Sea and behind an island, and the wind came up, and we were pulling anchor to try to get out because it was hitting us wrong, and we were going to turn into the storm, and the wind picked up the back of the boat and turned around and set it on the line and the anchor. Our prop got rolled up in it. It tore out the whole housing. The shaft going through the bottom of the boat was that big around, and it tore that out. We started taking on water. Almost went down. That's one of two times I almost died from sinking, but we made it, and thank God I made it. But I couldn't imagine being in a storm and looking out, and there's a man walking on the water. Now, I don't know about you, but there is a little bit of fear when you're out in the middle of nowhere, and there is no land for hours and hours and hours, and it's just open water, and the only thing you're on is this boat, and if it starts going down, I can't walk on the water. But this man was walking on the water coming to him. And no doubt when Peter stepped out on that water, an inner storm began to go in his mind. an inner storm begin to blow that was much greater than the outer storm that was hitting the boat and hitting the vessel and that they were going through and facing on the outside. And, I want to talk about that for just a little bit, the inner storm. There's many of us, many of you here are older than I am, much wiser. You have life experience that I haven't even begun to dream about yet. And I applaud you for that. I applaud you for being here and standing. And there's an old song, Soldier Won the Battle. They're in glory land somewhere. You have withstood time and storm after storm after storm, and I thank you for that. But you could be here and battered and bruised on the outside, but on the inside, there's that nagging fear and frustration in your mind. There's something that just keeps coming at you over and over, and it's a storm in your mind that nobody else can see and nobody else can witness and nobody else can get you through but you, the inner storm. No doubt, this man, and here he is in a boat, and here comes God. Well, God, let me come to you. There had to be some fear. There had to be some questions. This is not possible. Douglas MacArthur said, there is no security on this earth. There is only opportunity. Paul was a man that never feared the outward things, but the only fear he had was the inner fear, and that was failure. What if I had preached to all these masses and I become a castaway, he said. Some try to deal with these inner storms differently. Some of us, we try to hide it. We try to cover it up with a smile or a laugh or a joke. If you don't succeed, we hide it all. We cover it up that nobody would have evidence to say, well, they failed. They messed up. They weren't good enough in this situation. They made a bad decision. Look at there. When it comes to failure, we hide and deny. We fear it. We try to ignore it. We hate it. It's hard to say, I messed up. I'm wrong. It's difficult to admit to yourself, not to other, but to yourself, to say, hey, you know what? I don't have all that figured out yet. We do everything but realize that failure is necessary for and to success. You never become successful until you have failure and you have fallen on your face. You never know the depth of your character and moral fibers until you have fallen flat on your face and you pick yourself up and brush yourself off and say, hey, I'm going to try again. I'm going to get this right this time. I'm not going to make the same mistakes. I might make some more mistakes, but it ain't going to be that one. The inner storm. The inner storm. I like to read about great men throughout history and men that were failures, but they turned it into successes. They turned themselves and they picked themselves up and made something of themselves. The Polish pianist Ignaz Paderewski, try that one, Brother Doucette, that was a tough one. He was told by his music teacher that his hands were too small. He would never be able to play with any success the piano, yet he is recorded in history and his music is popular. The great Italian tenor Enrico Caruso was first told his voice sounded like the wind whistling through a window. You'll never be a singer, and yet he is recorded in history. The first car, anybody here drive a car this morning? Anybody here ride in a car this morning? Okay, let's ask the hard question for all of you, people that like different brands. If you drove a Ford this morning, would you stand up, please? If you drove a Ford, or if you are a Ford, just stand up. You are a Ford. No, stand up. Stay standing. Come on. Who else drove a Ford car? Brother and sister Ford, y'all can stand up too. Y'all are Fords. Anybody else drive a Ford? Is there anybody else in here drove a Ford? Do you own a Ford? Stand up. Yeah, there we go. Now I'm getting there. Yeah, there we go. There we go. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for driving a Ford. Y'all are good people. Thank you for being a Ford. Y'all may be seated. Do you know that the first car Henry Ford made, he forgot to put a reverse in it? Pretty dumb, huh? But you look at him now. You look at the company now. You look at where it is now. He didn't get it all right in the very beginning, in the infancy of it. But look at where it is now. Being able to accept that you don't always get things right. You don't always win. And you're not always going to get it right the first time is the beginning of success. You got to get this inner storm thing right. You got to begin to realize that when you begin to anchor to the things of God, in the ways of God, in the principles of God, things begin to happen. Things begin to happen, not on the outward appearance. I'm talking about right here. Because when this right here gets right, all of this will get right. When you get your mind in the right spot and your heart in the right spot and you begin to focus on the things of God, things will begin to happen in your life and that inner storm will begin to, you'll get through it. It's much easier to get mad at our failures and trials rather than to give thanks. Well, thank you, Lord, for letting me go through that situation. Thank you, Lord, for letting me fall flat on my face this week. I appreciate it, God. But when you begin to realize that that's what's going to make you, that's what's going to make you better because you're going to get up and you're going to do it different and you're going to try harder and you're going to apply yourself better. Adversity is not your enemy. Failure is not your enemy. Falling short is not your enemy. Not getting up and trying again is where your enemy is. You gotta keep on keeping on. It's not the one who runs the swiftest nor the one who shines for a day, but he that endures till the end. You gotta make it. You can't quit. You gotta keep going. You gotta keep pressing towards the mark of the high calling. Human nature. Seems like we would learn, but instead we go over and over and over and back and over and over and over again. Failure is not your enemy. The second inner storm is discouragement. Discouragement causes us to see ourselves smaller than we really are. I've never seen myself very small. I've always wanted to. You know, I had a mirror one time, made me look skinny, and then I tried to go through the door, and I realized, hey, I'm bigger than that mirror appears. Don't act like you don't have one of those mirrors, ladies, at home somewhere. Discouragement. Discouragement causes us to evade our responsibilities. Discouragement causes us to begin to blame others around us. Well, it's not my fault. Well, I did what I was supposed to do. They must not have fallen through. 1 Kings 19:9, and he came thither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain the prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. What he was really meaning to say was, God, I'm scared and I'm hiding from Jezebel. She's out to get me. Discouragement causes us to begin to blur the facts. Discouragement causes us to begin to say things like, I'm alone. I'm by myself. Nobody else cares. It's only me. I'm the only one that's right. How can you be there in that place, Elijah? Here you are trying to run from your problems, and I've got 7,000 that are worshiping me are not running from Jezebel. They're not afraid. They're taking a stand. You don't have to be afraid. The worst thing about discouragement is that it's contagious. You can walk into a room and you can be happy if you want to, but you walk in a room negative with a pouting attitude and you start spreading a little rumor. Well, did you see what they were wearing? I can't believe they were wearing. Did you hear what she said? And it becomes contagious and it begins to move. I'm talking about the inner storms. Every one of us face inner storms every day of our life. Every day you wake up and you begin to go through the process of your day and there's things that will begin to bombard you. You don't have to ask for it. It'll just happen. So I told the youth the other night, I said, you didn't have to get taught how to lie, did you? No. some of these things are just flesh that begin to come out. The inner storm. Where's your mind? What's your motive? What's your purpose for saying what you say and doing and being who you are? The inner storm. So many in the testing of their faith looked at the waves and the winds and they begin to doubt. They begin to try to run. You cannot outrun the storm. You'll go down. If you try to turn and run from a storm, it will overtake you and you will sink your vessel. You've got to turn into the storm and you got to head directly into it. You got to be anchored to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You've got to be rooted and grounded in truth. You got to worship Him in spirit and in truth. I know it's a simple message this morning, but I want us to overcome some things in our minds for ourselves. Nobody can beat the inner storm but you. Point at yourself. Say this, it's up to me. It's up to me. It's up to me. The test of your character, the test of who you are is to see if you will stop and face the storm or to see if you're going to run and quit. The reason David could stand to the giant was he had some bears and some lions and he had already faced some issues in his life. He had already conquered some things in his life. So when the giant comes in defying the Lord God of hosts, he can say, hey, wait a minute. You ain't no bigger than the bear or the lion. I can take you out, mister. I come to you not with a shield and a sword and with all these fancy weapons. I come to you in the name of the Lord. Some of us need to speak into our lives, into our storm, into our mind. I come to you in the name of the Lord. I don't have this all figured out, but I got the book, and I'm in the book, and I'm living by the book, and I'm anchored to the things eternal and the promises and things of God. It's human nature. It's human nature to be faced with problems and trials and to not know how to handle or cope it with it. Job said, my soul is weary with life. Jeremiah, oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of a wayfaring man. Paul said he had a thorn in his flesh. John said, are you he or should I look for another? There's always doubt. There's always questions. There's always things that could be better and that we could do better. Psalms 55 and 6, and I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. The person who is discouraged thinks only of themselves. I'll run. I'll get away. I can do this. I'll leave everything right where it's at, and I'm going to be all right. What I need to do is I need to go to the wilderness. I'm being honest. Honestly, this last year, I considered disappearing. I could have gone to Alaska, and nobody ever see me again. But I realize that's not the way to overcome. That's not the way to be victorious. I've got to stand. I've got to do what's right. I've got to stay in the book. It would be easy to disappear. Every year I'm bombarded with phone calls. Six-figure salary, full insurance, life is grand. But no church, no family. No relationship outside of a boat. That's not what I want. That's not what you want. You got to tell the devil, devil, get behind me. Leave me alone. I'm going to stand for truth and for right. I'm going to stay plugged into the things of God and the people of God. And I'm going to build a life and a future. And I'm going to live for God no matter what. I'm going to stay where I'm accountable and people have account over me and can watch me and help me and pray with me and fast with me. The inner storm. The inner storm. Jonah. You might take the boat to Tarshish, but God knows where you are. No, you can run, Elijah, but God will ask you what you're doing here. Most folks really fear being free. Most folks really